for the last day apostasy. Read it. That's the purpose of going to church and exhorting one another so that people won't fall away. Amen. All right. Won't you go to Matthew 16, and I hope the Lord will help us this morning. Boy, it seemed like Sunday morning, all I get is my voice. We'll have to do something else. It's a lot of talking. It's kind of like one of them machines with those night noises in it so people can sleep by. You get that running water, you know, trickling over the rocks, and out you go. Amen. 16th chapter. Now, look, I could spend the rest of this year talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay. Now, that was last Sunday's lesson. Leaven is doctrine. That's what Jesus was talking about. And I'm not going to, because I don't really feel led to. I mean, one of these days I might take 6 months and talk on about the doctrines of the devils, false doctrines. You know, I really think that all through the last several years, I really feel like people are they treat false doctrine very lightly. In other words, anybody that, you know, just claims to be a Christian, we just accept them at their word. Now that's really, we're not the judge as far as the end result. God will judge. But, brother, the Bible admonishes us greatly to try the spirits and see if they're of God. Now, I'm not going to fellowship in a religious setting with people that do not believe in the doctrines of the Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because people will associate you with that false doctrine, and then your word becomes troubled. And if you take your children around that false doctrine, and they are worshiping and going through the motions, and they've got a false doctrine, it confuses the daylights out of them. So I'm not going to do that. I mean, I don't think we ought to do that. But, you know, I think we ought to go out there in the world with the true gospel and preach. And I don't think we ought to just mark people off that's got a false doctrine. I think we ought to win them. I think we ought to convert them. Isn't that what the Bible said? He that turneth many to righteousness shall shine as the stars. Even an apostate, you say, well, people that used to know the way and went back can't be saved. But now, I don't agree with that. Because Jude, the book of Jude, said, on some make a difference, pulling them out of the fire. Now, we can't just get, you know, but now we can't fellowship and acknowledge false doctrine, amen, is damnable. There are going to be as many religious people in hell as they are non-religious. And a whole lot of preachers that don't tell the truth. Am I telling you right or not? Now, I know you resist this kind of preaching because we have a culture that wants to accept everything. But I want you to notice something they do not accept, and that's Jesus Christ. Now in the forums of our, like in the University of Virginia, they took up a student fund, and they used that student fund to support the groups on campus. And there was a young man that wanted to start a little Christian newspaper, and he ran out of funds, and so he asked the campus for some of that student fund to support his Christian newspaper. And they said, no, we cannot do that because it would break the separation of church and state. Well, he got a lawyer, and he sued the campus, and he won because they had Muslim papers, satanic papers, and every other kind of religion. See, and that's why in the halls of our Congress, you know, they don't mind you talking to about the great God of the universe. But when you mention Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ, then you've got a fight on your hands. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you, a false religion is the one that denies, amen, that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Now, religion is not going to get within the pearly gates unless it's pure religion. And the only pure religion there is. Now, like I told you, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to go to the next verse that I told you this morning. But I'm going to tell you, you don't need to believe just everything you hear, even if it's coming across a pulpit in some church somewhere. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You come here because you know what I preach. You know what I'm going to preach. You know I'm going to preach out of this good old time King James Bible. Amen. But a lot of people just go to church and hear whatever's dished across. I'm going to tell you something else is you need to be full of the Holy Ghost, because it will guide you into all truth. I don't think you ought to be like, I heard two guys talking. I thought this was really funny. I may have already told you about it. You know, I do a lot of talking. You can't keep up with every word where you said it at. But two men were talking, and one of them asked me, he said to me, one man said, I was in church the other day, and said, this visitor was there, and said, I didn't feel right about him. And said, the pastor gave him the pulpit and gave him an opportunity, and said, when he talked, Brother Zane, he said, there's just something in me. And this other man was standing here, three of us were talking. He said, there was something in me that did not line up with this man. And so he said, I didn't know anything about him. And he didn't really say anything out of the way. But he said, was that the gift of discernment working in me, preacher? And I didn't know what to say to him, because I didn't want to know the situation. And this other guy was looking at him and said, I'll tell you what it was the gift of. It was the gift of suspicion. And I like to fell over laughing. That's the way sometimes we misconstrue and we get real suspicious of each other. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about knowing the truth and knowing when you see it and when you don't. Amen? Now, one man said, and I've told this before, but one man wrote and said, the way they teach men how to recognize counterfeit is not let them handle counterfeit, but let them go to where they print money and handle the real thing. And if they'll handle the real thing in the right way, then they'll be able to tell a counterfeit when it goes through their fingers. Amen? And that's what I'm getting ready to preach to you. I'm not going to dwell. I could dwell on all the false religions. And really, it'd be a great subject. But I'm going to dwell on the true one. And then you should be able to tell the false ones. Is that right or not? Amen. Now we're going to our lesson, the 16th chapter of Matthew. The Bible said, right after he talked about the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, there's a lot of lesson here, and that I'm just going to start with that verse. It's a great lesson, one of the favorite in the Bible. I have a lot of favorites, but this is a favorite lesson because there is such a foundational truth in this lesson. Now, when I talk about foundational truth, amen, how many are glad and know for sure, Brother Zane, that the reason you're here today is the foundation you built on 55 years ago. Amen. If you're not built on the right foundation, it's hard to tell what you'd be today. Amen. And so this foundational truth begins with Jesus Christ and what we think about him. Now, just the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, now everybody believes he is, right? But just the fact that he is does not save this whole wide world. Do you understand what I'm saying? He died to save the world, but there's something that's got to transpire before this has power in your life. And how many knows what that is? You have got to come to terms in your own heart who he is in relationship to me and my life and my sins. Now, boy, I feel like preaching a little bit today. But now let me say this. Amen. Have you ever talked about someone that you knew that was a good moral person, and you say to them, and they say to you, or you say to them, you know, I don't know why you're not saved. You're a good person. You don't do anything wrong. Now, when you hear somebody say, I don't do anything wrong, you know they're not under conviction. Because they do something wrong. They do enough wrong to go to hell if they die in the next minute. And what they do wrong is they deny the Son of God as being their Savior and Lord of their life. That's the greatest sin that a man ever committed in the whole world. Now, you think taking methamphetamine or smoking pot or doing drugs or committing adultery or murdering someone, and those are all horrendous acts. And people say, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss. I'm a good person. It's like these people that we mentioned this morning, just talking about, Brother Needham was talking about, people say, you know, I live just as good as the next man. But, you know, most of the time they really don't. But then the other time they're not comparing themselves to the right situation. If we haven't repented of our sins, the Bible said, how many have sinned? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, first thing we got to realize in the foundational thing in this, that we are lost. We are lost, sinful people. We were lost when we were born. Now you say, no, I know there's a space of time when kids are innocent in the sense and not responsible for their actions. It's not 18, if you're wondering. I don't know really what the age is. God knows, but I'm telling you, we are inherently sinners. Adam fell, amen, and made us all sinners. Everybody that's born, if they don't get saved, they're going to die lost. Now, come on now. Ain't that right? You got to believe that. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe that Calvary just give everybody a free pass right on into heaven. But the Bible said, unless ye repent, Jesus said, ye shall all likewise perish. Christ made the offer. We've got to believe it and receive it. Now this is important. You ask the Son of God. Now, what attitude do you think he asked these disciples? Who do men? Do you think he was just worried about the gossip? Like we are sometimes. You see a couple of people whispering and they're looking your way. And you say, well, they're talking about me. And you get one of them aside and you get to talk and you say, what's so-and-so think about me? Anybody ever? I don't worry about it that much myself. Now, you do the best you can, hope for the best, don't you? But you think Jesus was just paranoid about what people thought about him? No. See, Christ knew, amen, that their attitude toward him meant heaven or hell for them. And he wanted to know, who do they realize? Oh, help me preach a little. You see, he just been with these Pharisees that said, give us a sign. And he told them, I'm not going to give you a sign. In other words, I've healed the blind. I've preached the gospel to the poor. I've done everything the Son of God is supposed to do. Amen. And they still don't believe me. You're not going to get any sign except my crucifixion and resurrection after the third day. And now he's given a general call. You've been out in the community. You've been out there. You know the pulse of the people. You got your finger on the pulse. You're from different areas, different jobs, different places of the country. What's the common say? Who do people think I am? Now I want to tell you this. That is the key to this church right here. Now you may think, I don't know what you think, but that's the key to this church right here. Amen. If we don't have Christ in the right position and understand who he is. I went to Israel there those Jewish tour guides were great. One was a retired colonel in the military. You talk about a guy that knew stuff. He knew it. And they were very intellectual, but they thought Christ, amen, they accepted Christ as being just a good Jewish man, and he was not God's son. Now, brother, that is a very damning belief in our life when we don't have Christ in the right person of who he really is. Can you say amen? Now, you know, he was more. Now, there are even people, and I know some great preachers, and you do too, some that we loved, and I don't understand what went wrong, because they were some of the greatest preachers ever was. And then as they went along, somehow or another, they got the idea that Christ, amen, was created by God. He was not God in the beginning with God. Amen. And how they get out of that, but I'll tell you this, if you take Christ, amen, out of his rightful position in your religion is no good anymore. Now, he said, who do men say that I am? Now, the disciples were quick to answer. What was the first one, Brother Noah? He said, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, now Jesus had already said there's not a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. So do you think Christ would have been satisfied to be compared with John the Baptist? He was the best man nearly in the country. I'd say he was, wouldn't you? Oh, feel like preaching a little bit. And we know even from the womb, John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost. Am I telling you right or not? Well, could we say, well, there's no insult in saying that Jesus is John the Baptist? Here's a man that had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. He leaped when the Holy Ghost. Oh, but you're missing the picture altogether. He is not John the Baptist. Now, John went out in the wilderness, and he stayed in the wilderness for all those years until he was the forerunner. He was not, amen, the groom. Are you listening to me? He was a friend of the bridegroom. Amen. There's a great big difference. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Can you sing this with me? Ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen. John was a good man. He was not a sinful man. He was a holy man. He was a man that had a message, but he was not the Son of God. His father was Zacharias. He was not the Son of God. He was the son of Zacharias. How many remembers when he couldn't speak because he just couldn't understand how John was going to be born, and so his mouth was sealed till the day John was born. And finally, after those 9 months, God said to Zacharias, and he punched him and said, "Tell him his name is John." And finally, he said, "He's John's his name." Hallelujah. But he had a father. It was Zacharias. Amen. John the Baptist, amen, was born. Are you listening? With that tainted bloodline that Adam had. Are you listening to me? But Christ, amen, did not have a natural father. Are you listening to me? He was moved. Mary was moved on by what? The Holy Ghost. Amen. He was not Christ. Was not born, amen, with the genetics of a man and a woman. He was born with the genetics of heaven. There was never a time that Christ was not God. Are you listening to me? Never a time on this earth that he wasn't man and God. Amen. Now it's important. Amen. No, we're not Jesus only. Amen. That is false doctrine. Amen. We are Trinitarians. Father, and everybody reads the Bible. Amen. Knows there was a Father in heaven. And there was a Son, only begotten of God the Father. His name was Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. And he was born on earth when the third person of the Godhead brooded over Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost. That is the Trinity. One God in three persons. And that's about as deep as I can go with it. It's beyond me. But it's true nonetheless. So, we got to understand who Jesus is. Who am I? He said, I want to know who this community thinks I am. And that's what's going to bring revival, Brother Mike, to our church. Is when we get out in the community and people learn who Jesus is. Not Randy Webb. And I try not to let you down. I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I try to live as good as I know how. And I try to learn how more every day. But it ain't about me. It's about him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. If If it wasn't for him, I would never have the Holy Ghost, for he's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. If it wasn't for him, I'd have never been called to preach. Amen. I'd not have a gospel that was inspired, amen, to preach from. There'd be no hope for us. Amen. Who do men say that? Some say that you're John the Baptist. How many can say with me this morning, John was a great man, but Christ was much. What did John say about him? He said this, John the Baptist said, he that cometh after me, I am not worthy to get down and tie his shoes. Oh, really? I must decrease, but he must increase. Now, let me ask you this. Christ increased. Has he ever decreased? Huh? For his kingdom shall have. Who said? No. He increased, and he is preeminent. There is none greater. Woo! Y'all about to shout or not? Who are we talking about? Jesus? Amen. Some say you're John the Baptist. Is he greater than John the Baptist? Oh, yes, by far. What was the next one he said? Some say you're Elias. Of course, you know, that's Elijah. You look in your margin, that's Elias, the way they put it in the New Testament. That is Elijah. Well, now Elijah's quite a character, isn't he? He's one of my favorite. He just come on the scene. I don't know really where he came from. Don't know who his mama was, his daddy was. He just popped up in Ahab's garden one day and said, you're in trouble with God, buddy. Elijah's quite, he's the one that went, amen, to the altar, Baal, amen, and said, the God that answers by fire, he's the God we're going to serve. He's the one laughed. He laughed at the false prophets as they cut themselves and jumped up and down. He just sat over there and roared and laughed and pointed at them. Said, maybe your God took a little vacation. And then he cleaned off the altars, rebuilt the altar, put a bunch of water on the altar, called a fire down from heaven. Pretty good man, isn't he? I don't see why Jesus would be ashamed to be associated and called Elijah. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus never did run from Jezebel. Oh, you got quiet on me right there. Huh? Oh, Elijah got depressed after his great victory. And he was, hey, Elijah, I'm not pointing the finger at Elijah. Hey, man, he went to heaven in a whirlwind. Hey, man, but he's not Jesus Christ. Huh? They went to heaven kind of the same way. They were gazing into the heaven. But Elijah, he's still up there running around somewhere. I think God just showed him when he said, let me die like my forefathers. And God said, yeah, one of these days maybe. And he's just still running around up there. Wound him up so tight he still ain't run down. But he ain't Jesus. Huh? No, he ain't. He ain't Jesus. He can't save you from your sins. He can't be there when everybody else walks out. He can't be there. You see, Elijah's up there somewhere in heaven. There's probably, I'm not a great prophetic preacher, but brother, he's probably somewhere. There's a plan for him in the last days, brother Zane, some way or another. I don't know how much significance that holds, but he probably is going to come back here. And maybe he was a perfect type of the resurrection. I don't know. But a lot of scholars say he's going to come back and be a witness maybe or something and die. Amen. I don't know. But I will know this. He's not at the right hand of the Father. He's not making intercession for us. Oh, somebody say amen. Who is? What's his name? He's not Elijah. Amen. Who's the other man? Jeremiah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Amen. You know, how many knows the nickname for Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. Read Jeremiah. I'm telling you what. I was reading Isaiah one day, Brother Mark. And he was talking about the millennium rain and all that, and the sun was shining, and I was so happy, and I turned over to Jeremiah, and it seemed like everything clouded up all of a sudden. And Brother Zane, I'm telling you, it rained every chapter of that book. Rain. What's the weather forecast, Jeremiah? Rain again. Sorrow. He was the prophet right before the Jews were carried into captivity. Amen. He wept. He said, my tears. And I'll tell you what, Christ was a weeper too. But he wasn't Jeremiah. Somebody say amen. Woo! Hey, man. You see, when Christ wept at the tomb of Lazarus, it was just before he said, Lazarus, come forth. Jeremiah couldn't do that. Come on now, y'all with me? I'm almost done. Give me about 5 or 10 more minutes. Amen. Now listen, let's go through this. Now, who do men say I, the Son of Man? And that, I will say this, that was one of the favorite terms Jesus used for himself, the Son of Man. He used it more than any other term in the Bible that he called himself. He wanted the human world to know, I am one of you. I'm God, but I have become one of you that I might save you. Amen. Now, let's read the rest of this. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, he's my friend. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, he's my friend. Woo! Somebody say amen. How many is a Jesus fan here this morning? Woo! I believe we're on the way to revival. Man, I do. Amen. Now listen to this. After he said, who do men say that I am? He said, or one of the prophets. Jesus said to him personally, to Peter. He said, but whom? Now this makes all the difference in the world. Do you know my sweet little old mama's here today? Have y'all met my mom? You know, I'd have never made it on her religion alone. She can make it, but I couldn't have made it on hers. After all these years of heartache and trouble and trials and temptations and aggravations, huh? I feel like that one little lady they told about it, she'd been mistreated bad, and she got so her testimony, Sister Angel, she was constantly in between saying, me and my Lord, me and my Lord. I've been through a lot of trouble, but I'm going to make it, me and my Lord. You know, there's been a lot of heartache, but we're going to make it through this, me and my Lord. Her husband had left her years ago, left her trying to scratch out a living with her hands, and she became her motto. Everybody knew her. That's the lady that testifies, and when she closes it out with me and my Lord, that's how we're going to make it.
Somebody say amen.
We're going to make it, me and my Lord. How'd you get through this, me and my Lord? Praise God. That's right. Now, here's the question. You about ready for this? Here's the thing that Brother Mark had turned your life around. When the Lord looked at you and said, I know your mama, I know your daddy, but what do you think? What do you think, Noah? What do you think, little angel? Get them right down. I know what they say, but what do you think about me? Who do you say, Keith? Who do you say the Lord is? Who am I? And you know, he was talking to old Peter. What was it? Simon Bar-Jonah? That was his name, wasn't it? And the Lord changed his name. You remember? Simon Bar-Jonah just meant Simon, the son of Jonas. Is that Bar-Jonah? Simon, son of Bar-Jonas. But he said, I'm going to change your name to Peter, which means stone or rock. And you know why he did it? Oh, I know. I know why. He wanted to start the Catholic Church, and he called. Nope. They missed it right there. You know, during the time of the Catholic Church, was Constantine, so-called, became a Christian in the history of the church world. And you know, the Gospels, this here was so oppressed and persecuted during that period of time that this national religion and, you know, Catholicism and paganism got all mixed into that. Hey, that's not a Christian religion. Oh, it's not. Amen. We got to answer the question, not Holy Mother Mary, Mother of God. Mary is not our intercessor. You understand what I'm saying? And the Pope John Paul, or Pope, who is it now? Whoever he is. Amen. He's not the divine Pope. You can bow and kiss his ring, and all you've done is made a fool out of yourself. Huh? Are you listening to me? Amen. It's like that lady, and you've heard it before, and I'm too old to learn any new stories, but I'll just tell you, that old lady was in that hospital, it's a Catholic hospital, and when they came in, and she was about to die, and the priest came by to see her, and they went in and said, "Ma'am, your priest is here." Boy, that lady perked up, and she said, "Really? Amen. I've been waiting on him." And he came in, and she looked at him, a little frown on her face, said, "Let me see your hands." He held his hand out, said, "You don't have no scars in your hands. You're not my priest." Huh? Whoa, somebody say amen. My priest, amen, is the high priest, Jesus Christ, who gave his own blood. Amen. That's why he told Mary at the garden, "Don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father." Amen. He had a job to do. He had to go into the presence of God with his own blood and plead the blood of his own life. Amen. Nobody took Christ's life. How many thinks they could have took his life if they'd have wanted to? They could not have took his life. He laid down his life. He gave his life. Amen. There wasn't enough devils in hell to kill Jesus. Amen. He laid down his life for his friends. That's the Jesus I'm preaching about this morning. Who do men say? Now, who do you say I am? There may come a time when to say that will cost us our life if we say Jesus is the Christ. How many knows what Peter was saying? Y'all feeling this? How many's getting it? How many knows what Peter was saying when he said, "Thou art the Christ"? The Christ. What did that mean, the Christ? Huh? It meant you are the Messiah. You're not just a good man like John and Elijah and Jeremiah. You're the one, the only one. It had to be, it couldn't be polluted blood on this earth. It had to be pure blood. It had to be a man that had not sinned or was born with sin in his blood. And there was only one. It couldn't have been John. They had a movie out years ago called whatever it was about Jesus. What would they call that movie where they crucified? Passion. And they had, I didn't go see the movie. And I, you know, it was a Catholic movie is what it was. The leader, the movie star that did it was Catholic. And he's an infidel to go along with it. Pardon, they called him, you know, DUI shortly after that. Had his mug shot in the newspaper. Amen. But anyway, they showed the suffering of Jesus and how brutal it was. But you know, they missed the whole point. Hey, there's a lot of brutal killings. You, if you've ever been in war, you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't just the fact that his visage was marred. It was who he was. Woo! Don't let me scare you now. It wasn't the fact that, "God bless his little old heart, he got beat up for me." It's who he was. Who was he? He was God's son. Does that make any difference? You better believe it does. Huh? Who do men say? Who do you? That's what I like to bring us down to you this morning. Who do you say I am? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, just as long as you're sincere and you got some kind of religion, that is blasphemy. You hear me? It's the way of the cross or no way at all. Oh, come on, church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being mean, critical, hateful. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about believing the truth without compromise. Amen? Let's stand. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Thou art the Christ, the Son, only begotten Son of the living God.